Hello, and welcome to what I expect to be the last in our series of recordings on Maseches Tamid. Again, this is a quick read through the Masechta, just intended to help people make a siyum on Erev Pesach. We are in the middle of the page on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph 33a, the beginning of the sixth perek. What we have remaining here, this Amud and a half, is really just two prakim of Mishnah. Okay, so remember that we are currently at the stage where the Kohanim have now cleaned off the Mizbeach. They have arranged the coals that will be needed for the Ketores. They've arranged the wood that's going to be needed for the Karban Olah. They've cleaned out the menorah. And everything is now set. They actually brought the coals for the Mizbeach, where they're going to bring the Ketores. The Kohanim did their davening. Hechilu olam b'malos ha'ulam. So the Kohanim who have the job, these two Kohanim who have the job of now bringing the Ketores, are now ascending the steps of the ulam. The ulam, remember, was the space between the outer area with its big Mizbeach and the Hechol, where you have the Shulchan, the menorah, and the Mizbeach of the Ketores. So they're heading west into the ulam. Again, as we've referred you to before, or if you take a look on Mem Amud Aleph after Maseches Midos, you get a bunch of diagrams, and there are some good ones there. Diagram Yudala, diagram Yudzayin show you the progression through the Beis Hamikdash. So they're heading west into the on the steps of the ulam. Misha zachu b'dishin mizbeach apnimi v'amanorah yomakdimin lifneim. They are preceded by the kohanim who are in charge of clearing the ash from the inner mizbeach, as well as clearing the ash from the menorah. Well, they have already been inside, but now they have more to do. Misha zachu b'dishin mizbeach apnimi. The kohen who is clearing off the ash from the inner mizbeach, where he did that, nichnas v'natales hatni v'shtach v'yatsa. So he went in. He took the jug in which he had put the ashes from the Mizbeach, and he bowed and left. And the Rush notes, the Rush on this is printed actually on the next side, on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis 33b. The Rush says that the idea of bowing is like a servant who has just finished serving his master, and he's getting permission to leave. So he bows and departs. Back in our Mishnah, Mishazacha Bedishun Hamanora, Nichnas Umatza Shte Neros, it says Ma'aravim, it should be Mizrachim Dolkim. The Kohen who is responsible to clean out the lamps of the menorah has a job to do, because remember that we read earlier in the third parak that he cleaned out five of the lamps, specifically the five westernmost lamps in the menorah, the menorah being aligned east-west, as it's understood here, along the wall in the Beis HaMikdash. So he had done the five eastmost, he had done the five westmost ones, and now he comes in and he has to take care of the two that are on the east end. So he finds those two burning. Midashin Hasam Mizrahi, Umaniyah Hasam Arabi Dolik, he would extinguish and clean out the end one, in other words, the easternmost one on the menorah. However, if the second one from the east end, in other words, among those two that remain, the west one of the two, or to put it a little bit differently, if you imagine the menorah lined up east to west, and your count starts from the east, so you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, he's now taking care of candles 1 and 2, so he cleans out number 1, however, he leaves number 2 burning. As long as he is able to leave it burning, that's exactly what he is going to do. And he would leave that burning, so he could use that to light the rest of the menorah in the evening. In other words, we try to keep this one, the second one, burning at all times. If you look at the Kahati on the third parak, he gives you a whole explanation of why this one in particular. If the second one is in fact out, then he will clean it at that point, and he lights it from the fire that was on the outer Mizbeach. He then takes the jug that had held the ashes that he had left there before from the second step of the three steps up to the menorah, and he bows and departs. Misha zacha b'machta. Now the kohen who has the machta for handling the coals on the mizbeach of the ketores, savaras hagachalim agabe a mizbeach, Mizbeach. So he piled the coals that are on the Mizbeach of the Ketores, the inner Mizbeach, the Riddidan B'shulei Amachta. And then he would spread them flat using the bottom of this of the shovel. And the Rosh explains that the reason to do so is because of the way he wants to spread the Ketores, meaning he wants to put the Ketores on it when it's thin in order that it should burn quickly, and that will reduce, says the Rosh, the amount of smoke. Despite the inclusion of Ma'ala Ashan and the idea of creating smoke at times, nonetheless, you want to reduce the smoke you're going to create. Vishtach v'yatza, and then he bows and departs. Third Mishnah in this parak. Misha zacha b'ktaras, the Kohen is actually doing the Ketores now. Hayanotelas habazach mitoch hakaf. Remember that we said in the previous parak that he had a spoon filled with the Ketores, and it was inside, of a bigger spoon, that nothing should fall on the floor. So he would take the inner spoon out, v'nosno la'oavo o likrovo, and he would give it to his friend, his relative, his beloved, whoever his friend is. Nispazim imenu l'socho, he gave the kaf, I should say, to the ohev or to the karov. If nispazim imenu l'tocho, in the event that some of the ketaret had actually spilled into the outer spoon, nosno la'bechofnov, then that would be given to him, his friend would give it to him to hold in his cupped hands. Umalamdin oso, and then you trained the Kohen, and the Rosh notes he needs to train the Kohen because this was supposed to be done by someone who had never done it before. So you have to teach him. Be careful, don't do it from in front of you, lest you get burned. In other words, you have to take your hands and scatter it from further away towards you. Otherwise, the fire springs up and it's dangerous, right? Like you teach a kid when it comes to uncovering a pot of boiling water, that you open it with the venting side away from you. So too, they had to teach the Kohen how to do this in order to avoid harming himself. So he's spreading it from his hands, but farther away from him. Okay. Hischil maradadon v'yotze, he then took care of this and spread it out on the mizbeach and left. Lo haya hamakdir makdir ad shemamuna omer lo hakter. Hischil maradadon v'yotze, that turn of phrase is referring to what? Hold on one moment, please. I would like to double check in the Kahati to make sure that I understood those words correctly. This is what happens when you're going through something a little too quickly. Indeed, he has this question. He says there are two ways to take the word viyotze. He says some say that that he would actually tamp down the coals using the bottom of the spoon after having scattered the ketores, and others say that it's referring to the person who taught him that once the Kohen starts to spread the ketores, he would say the person who trained him would then leave. Interesting. Okay. Lo haya makter, makter, atshem amuna, omer lo hakter. The Kohen who is putting the Ketores on the Mizbeach didn't begin until the designee would say to him that it was time to begin. Because he was also responsible to get everybody else out, this Mamuna, at the time of the Ketores. So therefore he has to tell you, okay, all clear, time to do the Ketores. Vim haya Kohen Gadol Hamamuna, or Chitze Hazocha. And if it was the Kohen Gadol doing the Ketores, omer lo ishi Kohen Gadol Hakter. Then you respectfully told him it was time to do the Ketores. You called him the Sir Kohen Gadol Hakter, do the Ketores. Pershua am, everybody left. Vihikter, put the Ketores on. Vishtachva, he bowed Vyatza, and then he left. Hadron Allah, Hechelu Olim. Okay. Last parak, top of Lamed Gimel Amud, Beis 33b. Bizman she Kohen Gadol nichnas lishtachvas. What if the Kohen Gadol decided that he was going to be the one to do the avoda? So if the Kohen Gadol is or not even to do the avoda, but just to go into the heichal to bow, shlosha olzinbo, you had three kohenim who would actually hold him as a measure of dignity. They would stand beside him, and this was a show of honor. Echa bimina, one on his right; echa bismola, one on his left; echa babanim tovas, and one of them is holding the choshen. And the Kaman Shishama Hamamuna Kol Raglav Shkohen Gadol Shu Yotze, when the designee heard the sound of the footsteps of the Kohen Gadol leaving, Higbia Loas HaParochas, he picked up the curtain that separated either the Ulam from the Echal or the Azara from the Ulam, Unclear, commentators differ, but he lifted the curtain for the Kohen Gadol to walk through. There's a lot of dignity to the circumstance. We want to show honor to the Avodah, to the service, and to the Kohen Gadol. So you have a Kohen holding the Choshen, the breastplate that he wore. You have Kohenim accompanying him, lifting the curtain for him. Nichnas v'shtachle v'yatza. He went in, he bowed, he left. Nichnasu echav ha-Kohenim v'shtachle v'yatza. And then the other Kohenim went in, bowed, and they left. Base. Bovam do amalos ha'ulam. At that point, they then stood on the steps of the ulam, the space they were in before, between the outer area and the hechal. Amdu arishonim ledrom acheim ha'kohanim. The first one stood south of the rest of the Kohanim, the ones meaning who had been doing the jobs, stood south of the other Kohanim, the Hamisha Kalim the Adam, holding five Kalim, the five utensils we've already mentioned, that held ashes and that held coals. And then El Katoris. Tatni bi'arechad, v'akuz bi'arechad. We had the tni and the kuz from cleaning out before. V'amachta bi'arechad, and the shovel was in the hands of one of them. V'avazach bi'arechad, v'kavakisuyo bi'arechad, the two kalim of the Katoris, the two spoons, as well as the cover, were in the hands of one of them. Uberchu es ha'am bracha achas. And they recited birchas kohanim, they recited a bracha. And we say here that we're reciting a single bracha here, but it means Yivarecha Yair Yisa, as we're about to explain. El Shabbadina Omer Mosa Shalosh Brachas Vimikdash Bracha Achas. That in the Medina, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you say Yivarecha Dat Yivarecha Mishrecha Amen, Yair Dat Dat Amen, Yisa Dat Dat Amen. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't say Amen for Berchas Kohanim. And therefore, with bracha achas, it was a single bracha. And once we mention that distinction between the Beis HaMikdash and elsewhere, we mention two other distinctions that are related. B'mikdash hayu omer mes Hashem kichsavo, u'mudina b'kinu yahu. In the Beis HaMikdash, they said the name of Hashem as it is written, meaning the Yud, Hey, Vav, and Hey. And in the Medina, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, b'kinu yahu, the way we do it, the Ado. The Medina, third distinction, in the outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Kohanim nosim mesyadeim kineged kaspehem. Kohanim lift their hands in Berchas Kohanim parallel to their shoulders. Uvamikdash agabe roshayhen. In the Beis HaMikdash, though, they lift it above their heads. That's where the Shechina is manifest as they say the name of Hashem. Chutz mikohen gadol shein magbiyas yadav lamala min hatzitz. Except the Tanakhama says the Kohen Gadol would not raise his hands higher than the tzitz, the forehead plate that he wears that has on it the words Kodesh Lashem. Inappropriate to raise your hands above that. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says, no, Av Kohen Gadol Magbias Yadav Lamala Min Hatzitz. The Kohen Gadol also picked up his hands above his head, above the tzitz, Shenamar, I have a pasuk, Vayisa Aaron Es Yadav El Ha'am Vayivarachim, that Aaron raised his hands to the nation and he gave them a bracha. It sounds like it's in fact high up in the air above the tzitz, at least as Rabbi Yehuda reads it. Mishnah Gimel. Bizman Shekohen Gadol wrote to Lahaktir. If the Kohen Gadol wants to be the one to put things on the Mizbeach, Haya Ola Bekev, meaning the Karban Tamid we're talking about now, Haya Ola Bekevesh, he would go off the ramp, Vaskan Bimino, and the Skan, the second in command, would be on his right. Higiel Amachtis HaKevesh, he would get halfway up the ramp, Achaz Haskan Bimino Beheelahu, and at that point the Skan would hold his right hand, and I think it's holding the right hand of the Kohen Gadol, I can't prove that, maybe it's the right hand of the Skan, and bring him up. I would have assumed that this was also an act of dignity and honor. However, the Rosh actually says that it would be exhausting for the Kohen Gadol, perhaps because of his regalia, perhaps because of his age, and therefore he actually needed the support of the Skan. Remember, we have all these pieces of the carbon that are already lined up on the Mizbeach, and you have the Kohenim with the jobs of bringing them up. So the first one, who was responsible for the head of the animal as well as the right rear leg, the regal, so he gave those parts to the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol leaned on them and then put them on the Mizbeach. The Rush notes here that this leaning is not the normal act of smicha, of leaning on a karban. There is no requirement for leaning on this at all. It's simply part of showing the importance of the Kohen Gadol being involved. So we have him press on the piece, and then Zarkon throw them onto the Mizbeach. Hoshit Hasheini L'Rishon Shtei Hayadayim, then the second one up, the second Kohen would give the first one the two forelegs of the animal, nose to the Kohen Gadol, and he would then hand it to the Kohen Gadol, V'samach Leim V'Zarkon, who would again lean on them and throw them. So the second one gave to the first, who gave it to the Kohen Gadol. Assembly line. Nishmat Hasheini B'Halachla, the second one would then leave, but the Rishon is still there. And that's the way they did all the others. The third one gave to the first one who gave to the Kohen Gadol. The fourth one gave to the first one who gave to the Kohen Gadol. You get the idea. And he would lean on them and then put them on the Mizbeach. And if the Kohen Gadol wanted, and he just pressed on it, and then others would actually put it onto the Mizbeach. We're now about 12, 13 lines up from the bottom. So the Kohen Gadol now is going to circumnavigate the Mizbeach. He's going to be doing the Nisach. He's going to put the wine on the Mizbeach. Now the truth of the matter is that in the event that a regular Kohen is doing this Avodah, he does not circumnavigate the Mizbeach. Normally the rule was you came up from the south side of the Mizbeach. That was the that's where the ramp was. And if you had a service which required going around the Mizbeach, you made a right turn first, because you're always supposed to turn to your right when you're given both options, and then you go around the Mizbeach. So effectively, you make a right turn first, and then you make a series of lefts. However, if a normal Kohen is doing Nisuch, is pouring the wine on the Mizbeach, we want to avoid a situation in which smoke from the Mizbeach gets into the wine. That's considered to be disrespectful, and therefore he would turn left immediately. However, not the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol would indeed go all the way around the Mizbeach. So we describe it here. Bo lahakiv es haMizbeach, the Kohen Gadol is going to go around the Mizbeach. Mehechan u'maschil. Where does he begin? Mikaren dromis mizrachis. He starts from the southeast corner. That's, he went up on the south side and turned right. Mizrachis tzvonis, then to the northeast corner. Then tzvonis maravis, northwest corner. Maravis dromis, southwest corner. You can draw a square and see for yourself. Nasnu lo yayin lenaseich. They gave him the wine at that point for him to pour, so I guess that's why there's no concern about it being affected by the smoke, because he wasn't actually holding it. Okay. Hasgan omed al hakeren vasudarim biyado. And you had the skan standing on the corner of the Mizbeach, and he had scarves in his hands for signaling. Shnei kohanim omdin al shulchan hachalavim. And there were two kohanim who stood on top of the table where they washed the fats from the carbon, and the Rush said literally on the table to be high up. Ushtei chatzotos biyadam. And they had two trumpets. Taku ve'riu b'taku. They blew the trumpets in order to signal that the Kohen Gadol was doing this avoda, right? First the Kohen waves. The Kohen is standing on the carrot. And waves the scarves as a signal. Then they blow the trumpets. Bo va'amdu etzla ben Arza. They then came to Ben Arza, who we learned about earlier in the Masechta. He was in charge of the bells. Echad mimino ve'echad mismolo. One on his right, one on his left. Shacha lenaseich. When the Kohen Gadol would lean over to do the nisuch. I think this is just where the Kohen Gadol does it, and not when when other Kohanim do it. I can't actually prove that that is true right now, but I believe that that's what we are talking about here. If someone finds otherwise, please let me know. The Bashachal Anaseich, he would bend over to pour. Vehine Faskan Besudarin, the skan would wave the scars. Vehikish Benarza Betzilzal, the Benarza would ring the bells. The Dibro Leviim Bashir, and then the Leviim would start singing. Okay. The part about Ben Arza is not Kohen Gadol specific. It's the part about the waving of the scars by the Sgan is what I'm wondering about, whether that's Kohen Gadol specific. Or whether that's something that happened all the time. But Ben Arza from there is certainly, I think is for all of them. Higiula Perek Taku Vishtachvu Ha'am. When Leviim reached the end of the Perek that they're singing, then they blew the trumpets and everybody bowed. Everybody. I'll call Perek Tekia. At every conclusion of a Perek, they blew the trumpets. I'll call Tekia Yishtachavaya. And each time they blew the trumpets, the people would bow. Zeu Seder Tamid La Seder Ha Tamid La Vodas Beis Elokeinu. This is the order of the Tamid for the service of the house of our God. Ye ratzon shi banavim hera b'yameinu, amen. And may it be rebuilt soon. However, we are not done. We have more to say. Mishnah Dalet, and this is found also in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Aleph, which also has explanation, and I'm going to be using that explanation. Hashir Shayu Aleviyam Omer B'Mikdash. What exactly was the song that the Leviim sang in the Beis HaMikdash? Bayomarishon Hayu Omerim Lashem Ha'aretz Umloa Tevel V'Yoshveva. The first day, like we say on Sundays, that everything belongs to Hashem, the whole settled world and all who live in it. And in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Aleph, Rabbi Akiva explains the reason why we would use this in particular, because on that day, it really is Hashem Haratzim Lo'a. Everything belongs to Hashem. Hashem established the world and ruled it. Basheni, the second day, Hayu Omrim Gadol Hashem Umulo Me'od, Bir Elokeinu Har Kodesho. Hashem is great and very praised, highly exalted, and Bir Elokeinu, in the city of our God, Har Kodesho, is holy mountain. And here Rabbi Akiva explains that it's because on this day Hashem divided up his creations. It was no longer one, it's now divided up, and Malach Alehen, and he reigned over them. So therefore it's Gadol Hashem Umulo Me'od. But Shlishi Hayom Omrim, on the third day, they said Elokim Nitzav Ba'adat Kel, Bekerev Elokim Yishpot. Of course, you can read that, and we do read that in the Gemara, sometimes as being about Hashem, sometimes as being about powerful beings. But the key for us, and the focus for us, according to Rabbi Akiva, is that Hashem is there among the Eidah, among the community. On that day, Hashem reveals the land and prepares the civilizable land for his Adah, for his Eidah, for his people, to settle there. On the fourth day said, Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Hofia, referring to God as the God of Nikama, the God of vengeance. And the idea of vengeance here is against Avodah Zarah, because that's the day when Hashem creates the sun, the moon, the celestial bodies that unfortunately people come to worship. We should sing to Hashem, the source of our strength. We should trumpet to the God of Yaakov, and according to Rabbi Akiva, it's because Hashem creates the fish and the birds and the fish to which praise His name. So that's the day five. Bashisha Yomer, Hashem Alochi is Lavesh, Lavesh Vigomer. That Hashem reigns in majesty, and there it's the idea that Hashem has completed all of His work and reigns over it. Bashabbos Hayu Omer Mizmor Shir Yom Hashabbos. On Shabbos they would say a song for Shabbos. Mizmor Shir LaAsad Lavo. The Gemara now comments on that. The song for Shabbos. Mizmor Shir LaAsad Lavo. A song for the future. Liyom Shkula Shabbos Umnuchal Chayeha Olamim. A day that is entirely Shabbos and rest for eternal life, a reference to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos in the future, which should come in Herbi Amenu, Hadron Alach Bizman Shekoin Gadol, Uslikala Mesechis Tamid, Mazal Tov Yishav Echad Kosher V'Sameach.